All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 65,000. Bag Milk here. Liam, Tyler, Rick, Dan. Gang's all here. Plenty to talk about. As we do every week, we start off with a delicious debate for our friends at DoorDash and Doodle Noodle. New location opening in Calgary today. Jay is down there. I saw him having some snacks. I'm very jealous. I'm hungry right now. Speaking of which, Liam, why do you eat a muffin with a fork?
Well, it was very difficult to eat with my hands.
Why?
Because it was a little harder on the outside, but soft on the inside, like most of us.
Are your hands dainty?
My hands are... maybe a little bit. Well, they're just the regular
hands. Those are farmer hands, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a chicken farmer. There's a difference.
Or is there a difference?
We don't go to the horses anymore. We can't do it.
But the way you ate that muffin and like the way you were grabbing the plate while you were eating your muffin today was like how a person would eat a watermelon.
Dude, it was two hands on the plate and just brought the whole thing to his mouth and just attacked the muffin like straight at the roof of it.
Well, it was tough to get out of the packet too without making a mess. And that's what I was trying to avoid the most because someone made a comment in the office. Nobody's going to like to clean that up off the floor. And I said, don't worry about it. It's all on my lap.
So, and then where did it go?
Well, and then it quickly went on the floor.
I believe I've seen some, I believe I saw a photo there is that found some crumbs on the table too.
I always leave a mark wherever I travel.
Like Zorro.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, delicious debate. Jack Campbell wasn't good again last night. Should the Oilers consider putting him on waivers so he can go to Bakersfield and get his game sorted out?
What's his name?
Cal Peterson.
It's an interesting thought, but like who are you bringing up right now? Is what's his name? Calvin Pickard not hurt?
He's hurt. So it'd be Olivier Rodrigue, who, Liam, correct me if I'm wrong, is playing pretty good right now.
He's playing pretty good. I think it's like a 920 safe.
Playing pretty good in the AHL against AHL competition.
So was Stuart Skinner last year until he came up and then he was playing pretty good against NHL competition.
That's fair.
Stopping pucks to stopping pucks.
Maybe Olivier Rodrigue's whole career turned around once they took that picture with us, Tyler.
In LA, yeah.
Yeah.
And then didn't we like see his grandpa?
Yeah. He was wearing his jersey. Very happy about the whole situation. By the way, I just got a text message. I've got a special surprise guest arriving in about 15 minutes.
Oh, today's the Chris the Intern Day?
Chris the Intern Day. Please, you'll be coming up in about 15 minutes. So
we don't have a mic for him.
Look forward to a
chair
blast from the past. Well, the chair we can sort. The mic is going to be a little bit more difficult.
We don't have a second splitter. We are maxed with the Rodecasters maxed out.
We almost didn't get you on the show.
To be fair, if this was done properly, he would just sit right next to Bag Milk, if not on his lap, mm-hmm. and they'd share the same.
That's how it always used to be. That's like when he was doing old episodes of Oilers Nation Radio. That's exactly how we would record.
Yeah, it'd be like a duo. You know, you got two guys sitting on the same mic.
I'm looking forward to having him.
Like Kenny and Dolly.
We're gonna find out some updates about the wonderful world of tires.
Oh, that'd be big.
We're gonna admire his new man beard.
This podcast is going to get off the rails, I think.
Yes.
Okay, so let's stick with the conversation at hand here. Is it a good idea for the Oilers to put Jack Campbell on waivers? Listen, I know you brought this up before we started recording. He's not going to get claimed, Rick. No one, who in the league can afford a $5 million goalie? $5 million cap it for any player right now. Very few.
Are you willing to take that risk?
100%. Let me go through the teams right now who have $5+ million in cap space. Arizona, not touching them. Buffalo. Okay, Buffalo actually might take them. Buffalo would be the one spot I'd look at and be like,
yeah, Buffalo, okay, of course they would, because Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, they blame us for both those guys.
Oh, yeah,
they took Reinhardt over Leon, and then they were all in on Connor, and they fucking lost it. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed they'd come after us.
But, okay.
Are you devastated if they did?
There you go.
What is your next move then?
Yeah, if you lose.
If you're going to try and tell me that Ollie is the same as Jack Campbell right now, you'd be just as confident.
How injured is Mike Smith?
Oh, come on. No.
Hey, listen, I thought about that yesterday. I would sooner go to Mike Smith than bring up Rodrigue right now.
If Cal Peterson didn't get grabbed on waivers, which I haven't checked.
You're equating them as the same.
No, I'm not, but even if he didn't, and then you put Campbell on waivers and he got picked up, Peterson has to come on waivers to come back up again. Does he not?
No, he doesn't.
No.
Oh,
that's a long time ago rule.
Got it. But so again, I tried.
Came up at half.
The only five teams that could afford Jack Campbell are the Sens, wouldn't touch him. Hawks, wouldn't touch him. Ducks, okay, maybe the Sabres and the Yotes.
I'd afford them right now as we speak with dollar amount, but it's very easy for a lot of teams to ship some money out and bring in a goaltender.
I don't think it is.
But then all of a sudden we have $5 million in cap space to do whatever
to sign
we want.
Who? There's no one to sign. We're in the middle of the season.
You could trade for another goalie.
We don't have a lot of assets, and if we're spending assets, we need to spend assets on defense and middle six or bottom six forwards.
But okay, let's have Stuart Skinner as a starter then.
How's that a good thing? Like I'm not against that. That's a gamble I'm almost willing to go with. However, you've got Connor, you've got Leon in there. How many years left each? Like 2 and 3 or 3 and 4? Like you need to win right now. And I understand that Jack's not really getting anything really done. This was his first, I think, bad game. He's had a couple of bad moments here and there, but I think this is
seven goals to the Hurricanes.
I was going to say, you're very generous.
I have to go back and watch it, but this is the first where I feel like I'm coming out of this game going, fuck, that was bad. It's like that third goal, you can't go down that fast and a backhand above him. That fifth goal went through the leg. Like that was bad last night.
I think he's been bad in a bunch this year. I don't think he would get claimed, but I still wouldn't do it yet. Cal Peterson got put on waivers because he was shit for over a year. Like that dude couldn't get his save percentage over 900 if his life depended on it. And granted, it'll take a while for Campbell to get there, but I still believe that he'll play through and sort out some of this stuff. I wouldn't go the Bakersfield route unless December is also bad. I wouldn't consider it till 2023.
Yeah, we're talking about a guy that's played 12 games here.
Yeah.
And a guy that you signed, sorry, 13, yeah. Now you're also talking about a guy you just signed in the offseason. Optically for an organization, it's not a great look if you're bringing in a free agent and said free agent is struggling and you're sending him down to the minors.
Didn't
immediately
you just say to send him down?
That's the thing is I can have a discussion and I can go through the thought process, but also recognize that it's not happening. It's just not happening right now. And I think people need to really just pump the brakes on some of the goaltending issues because you're right, Rick. I don't think that this has been Campbell's, like this isn't like a stretch of like five games of Campbell where we've been like, Jesus, pulling our hair out with this guy. He's been okay. It's just last night wasn't. So I think you go back to Skinner and then you get Campbell back into the mix again later. But I just don't think that this is a sensible thing. But that being said, if Campbell came off of our books tomorrow and we had to make some pivots at goaltending, I don't think I'd be terribly upset either.
You can always go backwards and goal right now.
Yeah.
I'd be a little worried about that move.
I do like the idea of, I can entertain the idea of Campbell going down to Bakersfield. I really can work on his game. I can entertain it.
I see
in a vacuum, I think is the way we can kind of put it.
Yep.
Does this happen anymore though? Or are we just expecting Campbell to do something that players don't do anymore, especially veterans in his right. We said this last year with Mike Smith.
Yep.
I can't think of another veteran of Mike Smith's tenure or even Jack Campbell's where they toss him down for, you know, to find his game, quote unquote. I don't think that happens anymore.
It really doesn't. It's rare.
You know what? Another thing that's not going to happen. Jack Campbell is not getting bought out. So if your idea is to buy out Jack Campbell after 13 starts, you're just not paying attention to how the league works.
Just for the sake of this, can I tell you what the buyout would be?
Yeah, and can I'm going to immediately tell you why you're wrong.
Okay, I agree. Buying him out's dumb, and it's a good way to ensure that you never sign another free agent again. Yes. And I also think Jack Campbell's going to bounce back at some point, so it's dumb. But for those sitting at home or driving in their cars wondering, if you bought him out this summer, he would then be on your books for 8 seasons.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
And it would be, the cap hits would be 1.5, 1.1, 2.3, 2.6,
Stop.
1.5,
Stop.
1.5, 1.5, 1.5. Sorry.
2.3, 2.6. Those happens in years 3 and 4. Who needs to sign in those summers?
Might be someone important.
Might be someone Chris important. Russell. And you might need, could be Chris Russell. You might need every single available dollar to get the job done. Are we really going to look at 8 years of dead cap space ranging from 1.1 at best to 2.6 at worst?
Are we not 1 year away from being free of dead cap space as well? Like Lucic just comes off the books.
I think he's two. Yes. Neil might have another year.
Oh, yeah, I think Neil might have another year.
Oh, another year? Another two.
That's what I meant to say.
So there we go. We're not going to start stacking up this cap space.
This year and two.
This year and two.
But look at
1.9.
But have you seen the discourse coming out of Calgary for Milan? It has been nauseating for them.
Is he bad?
Oh yeah, he's
he doesn't have a goal yet this year, I don't think.
I thought they were talking about extending him.
No.
They should.
That happened. Not anymore. That was on Twitter one night. Right after the Oilers beat them in Calgary. Not in the playoffs. Just wanted to remind everyone we did that too. But also earlier this season.
Yeah. Well, they're also done with Daryl.
People
Sutter
were talking
too.
About it as like a multi-year deal.
Yep. Also from our friend Nick Alberga. Sean Monahan has more points than Nazem Kadri this year.
When was Kadri's last goal?
I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Looking at Dan's,
how long Kadri around for?
And Jacob Markstrom also sucks right now.
A little bit of time.
So
back to our situation.
The source on that one though.
Markstrom sucks.
Jacob Markstrom is the source on his.
The photo of him at the blue line.
He came on set. I suck at hockey right now.
So to answer Dan's question, Lucic comes off, and Sexy Reg comes off this year, and then there's still 1.9 times two for James Neal. So.
But we're getting close. We're getting close to
being
debt
free. So we're going to get $2.2 million opened up. I don't think you just want to fill that space right back up.
With your free agent goaltender, you just signed 12 games ago, 13 games ago.
Yeah.
Just what does that tell other free agents?
At what point did Rolly get here?
He got at the trade deadline. He
played almost the entire season poorly.
Yeah, but season. So how many games in Edmonton do you think he was...
He was shit
before shit started to take off.
I think it was like right three or four games or three or four starts right before the playoffs when he started around into form.
So maybe we're in the vicinity of it right now.
Wow.
Whether we're a couple games over or a couple games under even, we're in the same vicinity.
There's a certain amount of that I buy into, but also like the organization is doing itself no favors by rolling out all of these people to come out and tell us about how great Jack Campbell is going to be. Like, I don't know if you noticed last night during the broadcast, Gene was asking Ryan Miller, the Hall of Fame goaltender, what he thinks of Jack Campbell's game. Gretzky was rolled out earlier this season, half in the bag, and giving us his opinion on Jack Campbell and how great
you do in a business.
Yeah, though. Of course. But that's where you understand some of this anger coming out at Jack Campbell, I think, is coming from.
Oh, I don't think if they said nothing and we got the same gameplay out of Campbell, I think we'd be upset.
So, sorry, I want to follow up. Oh, no, you go ahead. You go ahead, because mine's a bit of a tangent.
Yes.
I was just going to say, like, for a team that consistently trades players away on low PDOs or after bad years, and everybody complains about it, we are still the same fan base that is now ready to throw somebody away after 13 starts.
Dude, the same fan base, they were talking shit about Connor at the, you know, in the first couple of years of his, like, it's silly.
Some people wanted to send Leon down again.
Yeah, that is true. Somebody did want to do that. Wasn't playing very well.
Throw arrows at those people.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne Rolison came over to Edmonton on March 8th.
Right.
First start, 5 goals against.
Ouch.
Second start, 4. Mm. Next start, 4. And then from that point on, he only had one other start out of 15-ish. where he allowed more than three goals. So
there you go.
He dialed it right in.
So never mind.
But you know what? That's also with one of the greatest defensemen, at least of his time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really good defensive team.
They had a very good defensive team. We did not have the offensive capabilities we had now, but we had the two-way game that was, it would dummy our game, our team right now. Is it time?
It's time.
Okay. Let's step aside and take a break.
We're going to take a quick ad break here. We've got a very special guest coming up on the podcast right away.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the show to a former friend. He's back for the first time in a long time. Now working at Fountain Tire, Chris, the former intern. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to the studio.
It's a very nice studio.
First time in the office.
It's a very nice office.
It's a good thing we didn't turn the camera towards our guest. And we have four people that are always on the show, on camera, talking to our guest.
Bag Milk have the most space over here.
Yep. Yeah, it's a life of luxury over here.
Just shoved you guys on the couch.
When was the last time you did a podcast?
February 30th, 2018, probably. That's my guess.
February 30th.
Oh, no, it'd be March.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's only 28 and 29 days in February, so.
February, oh, yeah, sorry.
I thought he was coming up with a fake date for a second.
I was thinking end of the season.
Yeah, I thought you'd come up with a fake date.
March or April.
I see where we're going with this. And then 2019, I was like, oh, wait, hold on a second here.
Because we would have done like the exit thing on Real Life or something. Probably.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, it's good to have you, pal. How's things going in the tire game?
It's great.
What are you doing over there now?
People still buying those, hey?
People are still buying them. They're expensive now. But people need tires. Everyone needs tires.
Especially this time of year.
Never go away. You guys all have your winter tires?
Always.
I don't know what kind
of tires I need.
All seasons,
my
baby.
Jeep's okay.
Your Jeep will manage.
Yeah, handles the hills around here, no problem. I'm laughing.
I was afraid coming. I forgot about that death hill.
Yeah, the hill of death for sure. It's a little greasy.
Weren't you talking about rollerblading up that damn thing a bunch of years ago?
Up it. I've rollerbladed it down it. Couldn't get back up. I had to take the stairs.
I was going to say, did you take the rollerblades off and walk up the hill? Because if I remember correctly, we were talking about you rollerblading to work back in the day. Obviously, it wouldn't be this venue. It'd be just down the road. But still, you still deal the big hills.
Because once upon a time, you used to live on Jasper Ave.
Correct. You used to rollerblade here.
Yep.
Rollerblade down that hill. Mm-hmm. It was sketchy.
I also have a video on my phone of Chris riding his bike up the hill. And I was just crawling right behind him, honking at him the entire way.
Yeah, you tried rollerblading, tried biking, had to do the stairs a couple times for rollerblading and the bike. I had to carry that bad boy up the stairs.
That's a big hill, man.
Yeah, it is.
It's a big hill.
Not a lot of people are equipped for that.
That's a big plate of food to start eating there. You get the first little bit, you're like, I got this. It's going to suck, but I got this. And then you get about probably not even like halfway, maybe. And you're like, I'm fairly certain I'm going to die here.
You get one bite at a time. That's all you can do.
Dude, I wouldn't even try.
It would also be during the summer when it was 25 degrees. I would get here in the mornings, just super like sweaty, covered in sweat. We have a couple photos.
Very nice. Musky.
Gross.
Yeah.
See, now if you did that, you could just go upstairs to one of the Airbnbs and use a shower.
Yep.
We can do that.
So many upgrades.
I don't see why not. There's no one in there.
I actually don't think we can.
I'm pretty sure. And if you want to go downstairs, just go in the kitchen, make yourself a snack. Like, why not?
Home sweet home.
Yeah.
Excuse me, friends. Pardon me here. Do you know where the mayo is?
Yeah, I was just trying to make a sandwich. We were talking before you got here, Chris, about our beloved Jack Campbell.
Oh, you know what? He's a goalie too.
I was going to say, as a goaltender yourself, what are you making of this?
All right. Well, I've got empathy for him as a goalie. The empathy's running out a bit. You got to draw the line someplace of how much slack you got to give him. And at this point, you just got to ride Skinner and bench Campbell, and that's it. I don't know. That's my.
But aren't you concerned that they tried that?
Tried.
Like they didn't. There was a 12 day run where they didn't play Campbell, and then
how
he came back.
How many games is that though?
No, and okay. Well, maybe they're you doing that now. They're using Campbells for back to backs, but they'll probably go back to that. I mean, Campbell hasn't really done anything to prove otherwise.
Yeah.
But yeah, empathy is running out.
Would you consider putting him on waivers to send him to Bakersfield to find his game? We debated this a little while ago.
Because the risk is he goes on waivers. Somebody could claim him in theory.
Eh.
Will they? Probably not. Maybe.
I want to see what he's like in front of a team with good defense. He was here. Obviously not a great defense. He's in Toronto. Same situation. Not great defense. Do you remember what happened to Dubnyk when he got to a team with good defense in Minnesota?
Well, he actually turned it around in Arizona before that.
Yeah, but when he finally got to a team with good defense, he was a Vezina candidate.
Do you think it's still on the team in front of him?
I think there's
every
there's
single one of those goals last night was stoppable.
Last night,
except for the steal goal.
Yeah, last night's not necessarily a great example, but previous to that, they're giving up too many good chances. Stupid chance. They're shooting themselves in the foot.
What's your backup plan if he got picked up?
Well,
I was against
putting him on waivers because I said somebody could do that.
Enjoy your $5 million in cap space.
Yeah. Liam, you've got something to say.
No, I'm just enjoying my time between Dan and Rick.
It's very cozy on the casting couch.
Yeah.
Very cozy indeed.
This is nice. I think we should just do this even when there's only three of us. Yeah.
Use up the space.
Make a show off of this couch.
Uh-huh.
Completely based on the couch.
I've seen some videos like that before.
I think I once taken.
Isn't that how you got hired?
Yeah. Oh no. Chris, Oilers went to the Western Conference Finals. No news to you. Rough start to the season. What do you think? Just we're 24, 25 games in?
I think we just have to keep treading water until we got some healthy players back. That's kind of what we're doing right now. We're playing heavy minutes on our top six. Top five, top four even. And we just have to tread water. That's why Skinner has to play as good as possible for as long as possible until we can get some guys.
We don't have a lot of options right now. You can't just go make a trade and bring in somebody with a big cap because these guys come back, middle of December, then what? Then you're over the cap, then you got to make some fucking moves.
Also I've said this a bunch of times. Historically, Ken Holland doesn't make trades right now. So it's going to be up to the guys in the room to figure it out.
Historically, he never fires coaches, but he did that last year.
Yes, he did.
Maybe he's a new man teaching an old dog new tricks.
Well, I think he made the firing because he was listening to our podcast.
Yes, of course.
However, right now, we are undecided about making a trade. Therefore, how is he supposed to take our advice?
Yeah, that's a good point. Sorry, Kenny.
You guys don't think this is a Woodcroft issue, though.
You don't think Ken Holland actually listens, right?
If Ken Holland can find a podcast, I would be surprised.
It's a good point. Wow.
There's some people in the organization that listen. At least one person. I know this for a fact.
That's frightening.
Off ice member.
Hello. I know this for a fact.
He can't fucking tell us.
He's not with the organization anymore.
Former player.
Oh, Shirelli.
No. He was in
Steve Tambellini.
Duncan Keith.
He was wearing a suit, but no, he was not a player.
He was wearing it while they always.
Liam, he can't tell you even if you guess it. He could
give me clues.
In the upper office.
He could probably just tell us after.
Yeah, just ask him after.
Just pause after. It.
I think most of you guys know the story.
Oh, I know.
Hopefully you guys know the story anyways. You even may know the story. You should know the story.
Yeah, I know.
That's fair.
What is it like watching Oilers games now where you don't have to do this shit the next day?
It's a lot more relaxing.
Is it
sort of
Like, isn't this like a great way to get the frustration off your chest?
This is a great venting mechanism for sure.
Yeah. But you're just out there scooping snow all day, like trying to get the anger out of your chest.
Or like, do you guys at the Found Tire office, like the next day after an Oilers game, like last night where they get, I mean, it was an ugly game. Do you guys just sit and talk about it?
Yeah.
Probably should record it.
It's pretty much like we have our own podcast without the mics. Everyone's just getting the anger out.
Everybody's angry right now. It's spicy out there. Tyler, thoughts?
Streets are angry.
The streets are
back
angry.
Back to you.
Well, Campbell's situation is going to be ongoing until it's not. So let's move on. Let's talk about Wednesday's game against the Chicago Blackhawks. It was a win, but it was way more stressful than I thought it had to be.
I'm far more annoyed by that game than I am last night's game.
Why?
See, I'm not even annoyed by it. It was bad luck. They hit 6 goalposts, had a goal called back that I think was debatable.
I agree. Like this,
they could have been up 8-1 at one point in that game. And then the Hawks turned it on, got a power play. Cody Ceci made a blunder and you gave up a couple of late ones. Am I pissed they didn't cover the puck line? Yeah. Can I afford rent this month? No. But at the end of the day, a win's a win.
You talk about rent.
Yeah, it is a
homeowner now.
Yeah, you're a homeowner now, bro.
That's why I gamble even heavier.
He's got a bigger mortgage.
But you can't tell me like that almost goal where I don't know who even came in, but he came in between three guys in like this Bermuda triangle of nobody paying attention to him. Just flosses a pass right to him. And Skinner luckily stopped it, kept it otherwise retired.
It's not lucky he stopped it.
But sure, but it was, dude, that was a bang, bang play. Easily, if that goes in the net, you're not sitting there going, oh, Skinner.
I got a variable mortgage too, so they really got to start covering some fucking puck lines for me.
Oh boy, here.
I'm hurting. Come on, boys. That cost me a lot.
Dan, Liam, what do you guys think about the win against Chicago?
You go ahead, Liam.
No, you go.
All right. The win for Chicago, for me, again, another slow start. Now they overcame it. There wasn't a goal against, which is good. But yeah, I wasn't necessarily as upset with that as most people were. I really felt like those posts were really indicative of how good that team was playing that night. And it just didn't go in the net every time. But that's going to happen. There was 6 posts in one game. That's incredible.
Yeah, but those posts have nothing to do with our own end. That's what got me.
No, but those posts show that the team is shooting and the team is shooting well.
Offense is there. Fantastic. We've always thought that. We need to fix our
game. Were they the better team in that hockey game?
Yes.
Did they win?
They allow less than 3 goals?
But we're not at a time right now where we can just say, oh, we got the win. That's a good thing.
It's the Blackhawks?
We need to start winning with... There you go. Like, even you said that. Even you said before that game, they need to come out and win, like, win.
You said, what did you say? Like, 6-1 or something?
I think they did grab it.
Regardless of the score?
I think they played great. Regardless of the score, I think that was one of their best 5-on-5 games of the season up until the final 4 minutes. Whatever the fuck it was.
Another problem against both the Hawks and the Wild. The PK remains an issue. Liam, you said it last night in the BCast that it is one of the biggest problems this team has right now.
It's probably, is it not the biggest? Like, 2 of those goals on Campbell last night literally came from the penalty kill and we only gave up 3 penalties. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just not good enough. It's not like we're giving up penalty after penalty after penalty. Some nights, obviously, but like there was 3 yesterday and they scored twice. It's just not good enough.
I think those go hand in hand. Like, you don't have a goaltender making your goaltender has to be your best penalty killer.
Mike
right?
Smith was the number one goalie in terms of shorthanded save percentage in the last 2 years or whatever the fuck it was. Well, so if your goalie's not going to make big saves for you, your penalty kill is going to suck. If your penalty kill sucks, your goalie's going to look like shit. It's chicken egg.
Well, that goes my point. Right on.
Bring back Mike Smith is what Tyler is trying to say. Cold.
I would take last year's Mike Smith and this year's Stuart Skinner over what we have right now.
Well, yeah, because...
And I understand you really can't do that.
Last year's saying. Mike Smith was the best goalie in the NHL for the last 6 weeks of the season.
There was also the times where he wasn't.
Yeah.
And I feel like we forget that sometimes.
Well, he also had his highs. We're getting those lows right now, but we're not getting the highs.
Yeah, but we might get the highs right away from Campbell.
That's fair.
We cannot start thinking about that, about like regretting giving up Mike Smith or like losing Mike Smith.
No, I don't really regret it.
We got to stop thinking about that.
Oh, we can about Mikko Koskinen.
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
Our cheesy gordita crunch king.
Oh, shout out to Mikko. Wherever he's at.
That is still one of the funniest stories that's broken in the Oilers Twitterverse. Mikko Koskinen this year playing with Who is he with? HC Logano. Oof. Oh, just nasty numbers. 242-921.
Good for him.
Wow.
What do you need it?
Only 9-9 though. That team's Logano's got to start giving him some run support here. Who's not scoring on that team? Arcabello, step it up.
Arcabello, come on, pal.
Is Arcabello on that team?
I think so.
Figure it out.
It's like Stuart Skinner with the Oilers. That's what Koskinen is for Lago.
Logano. Mm-hmm. Their leading scorer is Marcus Granlund. And yeah, actually, Arcabello, 5 goals in 23 games. He's got to get going.
Hey, you got to pick that up, man.
So they have 3 former Oilers.
Do. Their team's actually like pretty good, I think. Daniel Carr, Sherwood Park product. He's in their lineup.
Sherwood Park boy.
60% of the Oilers lineup from the 2010s. Is scattered throughout Europe and China.
Yeah.
It's like when they play Cologne and Ryan Jones and Corey Potter were on the team. Oh, yeah.
Doesn't Griff have a fucking championship in China or something like that?
Oh, he's somewhere out there. Yeah, sure.
Griffin Reinhardt's retired, I think, right?
Beijing.
Kunlun Red Star.
Mm-hmm.
Good for them.
Oh, who was our big defense when we took with Petrie?
Bailoff.
Alex Plant.
No, Alex Plant. Yeah, that's the one.
Ah. RIP Anton Bailoff.
Shout out to friend of the show, Sebastian Bissalion.
Yeah, he was playing in, where was he playing? He was like playing in like Belfast or something, wasn't he?
I don't remember, but he was a great interview.
He was a great interview. We had planned 10 minutes with him and we ended up talking like 45 minutes. Yeah. He had great stories. Remember the basement studio, Chris?
Yeah. You know what I miss most about the basement studio?
Go ahead.
The red and blue microphones. I see you guys got rid of them.
Yeah, we upgraded the mics a little bit.
Although we have them in a bin just outside.
Really? They're still here.
Held together with hockey tape, with sock tape.
Yeah, we adorable. Upgraded the mics a little bit.
That's probably needed.
Jay let us spend some money.
Those are very cheap microphones from Amazon, yeah. I think.
You know what else is cheap, Chris? Trip to the mountains.
Mm.
You go to jasper.travel /winter. You can see all kinds of activities that you can do in Jasper right now, including getting some cheap tickets to Marmot Basin, Marmot Escape Card, if you will. Go get a discount. Head out to the mountains. Jay was there last week and he said it was fantastic. He said Marmot is in great shape. Go do some skiing.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler, are you a snowblader?
I do like skiing. I also am a big fan of this hat I got at Fairmont Jasper Park Lodge when I was there over the summer.
Oh, that's very nice.
Okay, what about the snowblading though?
We didn't even zoom in on it.
Yeah, snow blading.
Yep.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah. It's a skateboarding. Oh. No, it's like you're skateboarding, but
that's just snowboarding.
No, it's a mini skate snowboard.
Oh.
You might need to fact check me on this, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
Nobody fact check Chris on that. Everything he says.
I swear. No.
Snowblading. Yeah, it's mini skis according to the internet.
Yeah. I always thought that'd be easier because if anyone could skate, that's the closest thing to skates.
I feel very confident with my skating.
Oh, buddy, so I could tear it up.
Yeah.
They're almost like large skates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
Jasper.travel/escape. Go check it out. Go to Jasper. Spend a little time in the mountains. Maybe you take your wife out there, Chris.
She'd love that.
Of course she would. Mm-hmm. Take the dog.
She'd love that.
That'd be nice. That'd be really, really nice. I want to talk about a couple of different things. Tyler, you had Frank Saravalli on your show the other day.
Yes.
He gave us a little bit of inside information on both a couple of players that the Oilers may have shown some interest in.
Yeah. So they were in talks, or they had at least internally considered the idea of going after Ryan Reeves before he was dealt for a 2025 fifth round pick from the Rangers to the Minnesota Wild. We obviously saw him in the lineup last night for Minnesota. They opted out of doing that. His cap hit was one issue, but also his past beef with Evander Kane. They wondered how he would fit into the room, which is interesting because
that's how a real GM handles that. Not like the other guy who just brings in the guy who broke your fucking best player's fucking collarbone and say, hey, here's your new teammate.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know what? You get a cage rage going. Evander Kane and Ryan Reeves, just let him get it out. I'd watch that.
I wonder how Minnesota handled Ryan Reeves and Marcus Foligno.
Do they not like each other?
Well, do you not remember when Ryan Reeves posted that picture of him punching Foligno in the face around the ball?
Dan's posted it on Hockey Fights' Instagram a couple of times. It is
a fantastic
photo.
But was there beef or was he just he just posted the picture?
There was
if someone's punching me in the face, I got a little beef.
There was apparently a little bit of beef, but they quashed it at practice before his first game.
With a cage rage, I can only assume.
It has to be.
Yeah.
But Frank also added the Oilers have kicked around the idea of claiming Wayne Simmonds off of waivers.
Would you do it? I think I would.
What's his contract?
$900K out at the end of the year.
Yep. I'd do it.
Could have him for free on waivers.
I'd do it. Give me the Wayne train.
If it means that I never have to see Devin Shore again, I'm good.
Oh. And easy.
In different positions.
Yeah,
what? Suppose I don't have the mic, eh? Seems unfair.
Yeah, if you can't really hear Liam or Danda, it's because they have to share a mic because Chris is here.
Good one, Chris.
We're happy to do it, Chris.
What's wrong with really Devin's score? You got an assist yesterday.
So I want to bring this up because last night in the B-cast, Liam was very passionate about Devin Shore. Just, Liam, what is your love of Devin Shore right now?
It's not a love, but it's not a hate. It's just an irrelevance of what he is to this team. Like, what does he bring? Not a lot.
He works really hard.
Exactly. No, he doesn't.
Yeah, he does.
Hey, what trouble is he causing? Very little.
Exactly. He's the Zach Hyman of the four.
No, I don't think that.
Whoa.
In terms of work ethic.
Did you just compare Devin Shore's work
ethic? No, I didn't. To the fourth line, I mean. Nowhere close to Hyman, obviously.
I think he's the shining example of what this team lacks. And that is there's too many guys in their bottom six right now who just go out there and are like, yeah, I'll go like get the puck in deep and like maybe get a wrist shot here and there. But like, I'm not going to go hard.
Are we talking about Wayne Simmonds?
No, sure.
Oh,
I think Simmonds would be that guy who'd go mix it up and hit and try to create some energy. Devin Shore doesn't give you energy.
But Simmonds has
sure gave Connor McDavid energy when he was standing in the hallway.
And I love him as a teammate. He'd be the perfect 13th forward. You can play him every four or five games.
Make him an assistant coach.
So now you're not getting rid of him. You're just keeping him as a 13th.
Yeah, keep him as 13th.
Okay, so I'm fine.
Liam, are you acceptable of that?
Yes.
All right. Fuck, problem solved.
What I'm going back to Wayne Simmonds.
Go ahead on this one.
So with the Leafs this year, he's only played five games. He's got one assist. Anybody interested at Wayne Simmonds at 900K? I think I am.
Can I just say one thing quickly?
Please.
Last season, Devin Shore had 5 goals and 11 points in 49 games.
Okay.
Simmonds had 5 more points in 72 games.
But I'm talking intangibles here.
Yeah, I think the Oilers need to be tougher to play against. And if you can compare the two, Liam, if you allow.
Go ahead. Did they even play the same position?
No.
Isn't no, Shore, but like we're talking about like a bottom line Shore. Guy. You're going to get more truculence out of Wayne Simmonds than you are Devin Shore.
Simmonds right now, because when you say Wayne Simmonds, we think like Philly
Wayne Simmonds.
I'm not thinking that Philly.
I need to know that it's that he can still do what we want him to do. Because if he can't, then what was the point of that?
I also wonder if he'd even come here. Remember when the Leafs put Spets on waivers and he came out and was like, if anyone claims me, I'm going to retire. I wonder if Simmonds would just do the same thing. Be like, no, I'm only playing for the Leafs. Like that's why he kept resigning there for dirt cheap.
That's a sweet move. That's a power move.
Yeah.
I like it. Dan, Wayne Simmonds.
I am not on board with the Wayne Simmonds.
Even though he would potentially get us fights for the Edmonton Oilers at hockeyfights.com.
I don't think he's
might give you some swagger though.
We're getting told outside the office to talk about Devin Shore.
Are you thinking about the clicks, Dan?
What's that?
The clicks. Do it for the clicks.
I don't think Wayne Simmonds is fighting anymore. I watched him with the Leafs a couple times this year just because he did get called up and I tried to hype it up from hockey fights. I just don't think he's that guy anymore.
You are not that guy, pal.
It's one of those things. If he was, he would have been on the Leafs roster for more than 5 games.
Who is that guy now?
Is it Klim Kostin?
No, just in general. Like, who would be a guy who still fights in the NHL that's probably could be an option, I suppose?
Well, I mean, most of the guys that I'm going to list are ones that you're never going to pry out, but I would say, like, Marcus Foligno is a good example of somebody that is a skilled player. Tom Wilson, another example of a guy that's skilled player.
Foligno's probably got a bigger contract, too, yep. I bet, though, if yep. I just guess.
For sure, I would say he's probably above Jesse in numbers. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, anybody else that could like play right now. I like Jack Eye a lot out of Montreal, but again,
he's been in and out of the lineup too, though.
He has been. Yeah. And you're not getting him anyways.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
A guy that I would like to see the Oilers look at. And you're going to probably laugh at this because it's the opposite of Wayne Simmonds, but
Malone,
Cal Clutterbuck, Cal Clutterbuck out of the Islanders hits. He's the leading hit.
That's because the Islanders stats guy loves him.
But
I would question him. Is he still the same Clutterbuck that we remember?
He's not the fighter that we remember.
No, I don't need the fighter per se, but if he wants to go and hit everybody like he used to do us when he was playing with fucking Minnesota.
Yeah. And you saw it to me. You saw that last night with the Minnesota. Minnesota, I think, felt like they were not going to be able to hang with this Oilers team, and they started to hit everything that moved, and the Oilers didn't like it. And they, you saw them bickering with people, but they never stood up and said anything or did anything about it.
So
and
Wayne would do something about it.
I don't know.
He'd
don't
at least get in a scrum.
I would like to see a Kyle Clutterbuck come in before I'd see.
That's why I like our boy Kleem Kostin. First goal as an Oiler last night.
Fuck, that guy can play, man.
So let's get to that in a second. But
it's all for standing there and staring down Revo.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we need more guys that are willing to do that on this team. Chris, are you a fan of the truculence or no?
Yeah, I am. I like long term. I mean, we haven't seen much of him, but what we've seen so far, I'm into it. Depth guy,
Tyler, what do you think? Where are you going into this?
Look at that.
Like, move him up in the lineup.
Yeah, man.
Oh, really?
Let's give him a look. Liam had the idea initially on Oilers Nation Every Day. Shout out to Liam.
Well shout done. Out. I called him the answer.
Did you? 2 weeks You're going to award him the belt.
I give it to him right now. I can't believe he's not a chance in the top six. I think it's quite frankly ridiculous with the amount of injuries.
What doesn't he do well? He skates hard. Mm-hmm. He's not afraid to mix it up physically. Goes hard to the net. And the puck is on and off his stick quick when he has a chance to shoot. He likes ripping the pill. So put him on McDavid's line.
Ooh, spicy. Ooh,
McDavid, Kostin, Hyman.
He's demoting 29 already.
I am. Well, because I don't think those two can play together. But, like, how hard would Hyman and Kostin forecheck on McDavid's wing? That duo there. Come on.
You're warming me up to it, pal.
I tried this a couple years ago with Jujhar Khaira when he was kind of...
Kostin's more skilled than him.
At his peak of offense, and I wanted it, and Gregor fought me hard. I love the idea of putting a low talent guy like a Kostin in the sense that he's just not, he's not a super skilled forward.
But he's not used to playing 22 minutes.
Yep.
He's not used to playing against that type of defense or that type of forward. Like, I guess the forwards probably wouldn't be that big of a deal.
So get used to it. Because you're the answer, Kleem.
But is Janmark used to it? And he's playing on the second
line. He's been playing a lot longer, I think. So maybe he's
seen more opportunities. But Kostin was a first-round pick. Like, he's a high-end skilled player. He was a captain of the Russian World Junior team. Like, he's done a lot before.
Cam Barker was a first-round pick too, wasn't he?
Well, that's different.
There's still time for him to turn it around.
So, yeah, this is really tilting.
Cam Barker.
I think he's good.
Are you willing to declare that Cam Barker is a dud?
Come on, man.
Well, I don't think that's
Liam, he is literally wearing the C for Rouen in the second division French league. All right.
Incredible.
Didn't he play in the British Elite League?
Cam Barker. He.
The British Elite League?
No.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
After his NHL career ended, he went to a KHL team and then a couple KHL teams and then the NL, which is, I think, the Swiss League, Liga, and then Ligue Magnus.
Played soccer in the Spanish league. That's huge.
Yeah, that's big. Wow. How many guys can do that?
La Liga.
Since we're looking for some positives, go right now after a tough loss, the Oilers. Liam, what about the SSAC boys? How cool is that? It's pretty neat to have three guys that played on the same, what is that, Bantam?
They played Bantam together
because Bantam trip, yeah.
Hamlin was an underage on the team.
That's pretty neat.
It is pretty cool.
I mean, hometown team and all
those numbers that year weren't good.
14, 15 years old and they see each other again 10 years later.
And then three of them went in the first round of the dub.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty impressive to get three from one team, two in 2 years span.
All on to not just any NHL team, but their hometown team.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did we ever find out how the team did overall?
Oh yeah, they won.
They won everything.
They won it all.
Okay.
On Benson's points alone.
Yeah, Benson had 146 points this year.
So and that's pretty in what 12 yeah. games?
He actually beat Ty Ratty for the record.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. The former answer.
Yeah.
Mm.
Those are dark.
Preseason days. Champ. Ty Ratty.
There's actually three former Oilers in the top five for all time points in that league for U15.
Hit me. Ooh. Who you got?
Benson.
Yeah.
Ratty was two.
Can I guess? Is Mike Comrie one of them?
No. He is from. I can't remember. I'll give you one clue.
Please.
He played on the Oilers last season, was an up and down guy.
Chris Russell.
And he fought in the first game of the season. But he might have fought like Tyler Myers or someone like that. He was like fought a big guy. And it was someone who
and
was
he
like,
played in Edmonton as a kid.
No. I can't remember if he was from like Red Deer or Airdrie or something like that. But he played one season with the Oilers, was mostly in Bakersfield. He's played for the Dallas Stars.
Tyler Pitlick?
No,
he's been gone for a while.
Yeah. Played last year.
Oh, last year.
Was in the Stars organization, is from Alberta. Is yeah. and I fought wish. A Canuck.
I'm sure.
Oh, Colton Sevier.
Colton Sevier.
Oh, man, I forgot he even existed.
Third or fourth on the list.
If you had built that whole thing up to get a Devon Shore fact in there, I would have walked out. Well,
that would have been amazing. We would have just shut down the podcast then and just all left, gone for beers.
You guys missed it, but he was getting bullied. The girls in the office had they had a sign and they had it written like enough with Devon Shore or something like that. They're talking right to him.
I think we should just call him Devon Score.
Because Kylie, who sits out there, she shits on Devon Shore.
It's a whole bit.
It is a bit at this point.
They had a whiteboard and they're flashing it in here. It's distracting.
Liam, you stand up for your principles, my friend.
Always will. Mm-hmm. Colton Sevier.
Three Lions. NL. Intimidated by no one.
Where is he now?
He's in the NL of Burn. So that year, 2004, Red Deer Chiefs, U15, 47 goals, 109 points for Colton Sevier.
You really wanted to say Devon Shore.
He only had 28 the year before. That's unbelievable.
When did he get drafted?
He was drafted.
Check his water bottle at that point.
Sevier? 10th overall by the Portland Winterhawks. Oh. A Colt star for the Texas Stars.
This is awesome.
Wow. We've had a Cam Barker reference and a Colton Sevier reference on the same show.
And a shout out to Sebastian Bisalion as well. Like, this is a big show. We've
brought Plant and Griff. Like, we've been hitting everything.
This is why so many people had us and their Spotify raps.
Chris, we're going to throw back to a segment that you'll probably remember. For our friends at Soho, check out the website, Soho Yegg. 475 Molsons and half price wings on game days.
Shut up. Seriously?
Yeah, man.
A bang a deal. And something you're about to tell me that you can see the game on a 100-inch screen at Soho on game days too, hey?
I was gonna, but you ruined the surprise. You ruined the surprise. Chris, it's time for Ask the Idiots.
I'm so happy this is a thing.
Are you? Remember?
I love it.
It's a shout out to North by North Gretz. You know what that is? Shout out to you.
That was in no one's Spotify raps, unfortunately.
Because they didn't have Spotify raps back then.
Yeah, probably. Spotify didn't exist when I was a podcaster.
Getting that on LimeWire back in the day.
Exactly.
Any chance you worked on the Rhonda interview since you've been gone?
No, I swear she's retired. Yeah. So I think that's out the door.
First question, Chris, I'm going to throw it to you first because you are our guest. Hey, boys. Oh, and also you're a ref. Are you still reffing?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, this is perfect.
Didn't you ref with my cousin?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, he told me about Sean? That. Huh?
No, never mind.
His name's Josh. He's a big listener of this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He was the one who texted in about the Lloyd Minster thing.
Yeah, I had two people call me out on that. Did you know the Lloyd Minster rink is in Saskatchewan, not Alberta?
Yes.
I did not.
Because he's a ref.
You were incorrect.
You guys want to...
Wow. I Googled it as well.
Which rink was it?
Centennial Civic Center Arena. I'll never forget because their burger is absolutely horrendous.
Yeah. Hey, just be glad they had a burger.
Come to the Spruce Grove Saints game tonight. I'll be on the ice.
Yeah, you're doing like AJ games.
Wait, you reffing the AJ?
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm a scout. I'm a Lions.
Scout's man. He's a head scout for the Sherwood Park Crusaders.
Get out of here.
Wait, this could get you guys in trouble. There's collusion.
Yeah, there's collusion here.
Cut all this out.
Just a fucking 30-second bleep.
Wow.
Wow, they have it. Who do they play?
Wow.
Tonight, Okotoks. It'll be a good game.
Yeah, it should be a good one.
Any advance notes, Liam?
On Okotoks?
Yeah.
They're good. They're pretty good.
Former team of Dylan Holloway.
They're second in the South right
Just
now.
Be quick on those icings, please. Not like we saw in the NHL, the Oilers games a couple of games ago.
Never quick on the
icings. Have you done a crew game this year?
I have not. Do you go to all of them?
No, I've actually been to three and they've lost all three.
Okay. So, well, crew aren't doing that. Too great, I think.
Just streaming them now.
Not too great.
Are they like 500?
We have 7 players out injured right now.
I like where this is going. This took an unexpected AJ turn. All right, Chris. What do you think of the NHL looking at giving teams a penalty shot rather than a power play after an infraction?
Oh, out of the box for sure. I don't like it. It's too different. I'd really have to come around. Instead of a penalty, instead of a two-minute penalty?
Instead of a two-minute penalty, you get a penalty shot.
I think, no, don't like it. Tyler? Takes away a lot of entertainment.
I don't like it framed that way. But when Frank Saravalli was at the GM or executives meeting a couple months ago, the idea that was floated was, you know, when there's those really close plays where it's like, could be a penalty shot, could be a penalty,
You just default to penalty shot?
No, when it's close
and the ref's like, ooh, that could be a penalty shot, but I'm not sure. Then the team gets the choice in that situation.
Well, their guidelines.
The team gets the choice.
Oh.
Yeah, the team. So like if Connor McDavid's going in and he's hooked and the ref is like, oop, that's a 50-50 one. Jay Woodcroft, you want the penalty shot or the power play? Oof. Woodcroft gets to pick in that situation.
Let me ask you a question. Fun. When would you not pick the penalty shot?
If it was like Devin Shore or Jesse Puljujarvi that got
that's
hooked?
A direct shot at Liam, I feel.
Or it's towards the end of a game that's close and you're trying to just get those 2 minutes of
you only get the 2 minutes off
advantage.
Or maybe a power play's buzzing.
An average penalty shots go in, Frank said, like 25 to 30% of the time. So if your power play is above 30%, you'd be better off taking the power play.
Rick?
No. It's like we don't even like the shootout.
No, that's
true. It's a team game. And also, I don't like the fact the ref doesn't know what to call.
Chris,
like,
thoughts?
No, like, wasn't the ref after, like, and I get it in your head, you may have to be like, but you got to make a fucking call.
I think the penalty shot calls are pretty consistent.
Rick heard there's a ref in the room and his blood pressure's just like,
but I mean, in your situation, the ref's like, oh, it's 50-50. Like, no, the ref can't see it 50-50. The ref would be like, no, it was a hook. No, it's a penalty shot.
Okay, so there are guidelines the refs are following to determine if it's a penalty shot or not. Maybe I propose expanding those guidelines to maybe any like minor on a breakaway or something like that would be an auto penalty shot.
Any minor on a breakaway or partial breakaway, the team gets a choice between a penalty shot and a penalty. I think it'd be sick.
Because a breakaway doesn't, like you can take a minor penalty on a breakaway and not have it a penalty shot, no?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, with a minor penalty taken on a breakaway, you'd get the choice.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to stick with the way we have it right now.
I hate the idea of losing the 2 minute power play. Like that's the part to me, like to me, it's a physical punishment. You sit in the box for 2 minutes to think about what you did. Like that's parenting 101.
Oh, I do not think it's parenting.
You need to learn. They need to learn somehow and they need to be punished for it. Like we've gone away from the NHL used to have it so that it was just a rolling 2 minutes. You could score as many times as you wanted. And then they got rid of that because the Oilers took advantage of it. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, they've changed it. I still think you have to have some kind of element. Like we're not soccer. We can't just hand out cards. We have to have some kind of punishment.
No, you'd be handing, well, I guess you'd be handing out a goal. But.
Liam, thoughts?
Well, my suggestion is similar to the sport of rugby. Does anyone watch rugby here?
No.
So the haka.
When you get a penalty in rugby, you get a choice of kicking the ball further down the field to go out. So you get a line out, you get a scrum, or you can kick for like a field goal, or you can do like a free play. And the player on the pitch, on the field, gets to pick what they want to do.
Put this in hockey terms, please.
So if Connor McDavid got options? Slashed,
yeah,
your options are penalty shot or power play.
Or you shoot the puck down the ice.
Yeah. That's why you
get a free line change.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any penalty, you get the penalty shot or penalty?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd go that far.
Why not?
I think that would take away too many power plays, like Dan said. I'd like it somewhere where it's like on the close plays on the breakaway.
Well, most like in rugby, it's based off the situation. So if you're obviously far back on the field, you kick the ball as far as you can. Mm. If you're right on the goal line and ready to get a try, you take a scrum. So you pick it off your situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would do.
I understood like three words that you said there.
All I would say is that I think if it takes away a scoring chance, then you should have that option. If it's taken away an obvious scoring chance, whether it's a breakaway or not, even if it's just, you know, a guy cutting across the middle of the ice, if they had a chance, then they should have that option.
But like, if you have a power play like the Oilers 30% of the time, wouldn't you want to see that on the ice all the time over a penalty shot?
I think the Oilers would be a team that probably doesn't take the penalty shot very often in this situation.
Unless it's Devin Shore.
Unless it's McDavid. You still
have Connor McDavid though.
Unless it's McDavid, yeah.
You still have McDavid. Like the penalty shot goes to the player that was offended as opposed to just giving
it to somebody, right?
Well, that's a different clarification too. Like if it's going to be the player that offended or you get to pick like in football, Liam. question number two, ask the idiots for our friends at Soho. Where should Kleem Kostin be playing in the lineup tomorrow against the Habs?
Third line.
You still have him on the third line?
Yeah. Was he in the third yesterday or fourth?
He was on the third, I think. Liam, Kleem Kostin.
I guess would probably just keep him on the third. And if things don't go too well, then I would move it up with Nugent, Puljujärvi.
Your offense has been good enough for the last couple of games. I wouldn't mess around too much.
Yeah, like that. I thought the second line was pretty decent against, who'd they play? Chicago. And then went a little bit dry. So yeah, that's, I don't know. I don't think it's like too big of a deal to keep him where he is right now.
Tyler, tomorrow against the Habs, where are you putting Kleem Kostin?
Let me paint a scenario for you guys.
Please grab your
Saturday
brush.
Night, mm-hmm. hockey night in Canada.
5 p.m.
Original six matchup. 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The building is just buzzing. There's Habs fans starting go Habs go chant and Oilers fans Olé, trying to hush Olé, it out. And Olé, Olé. You can feel the tension. Olé. And Al Stafford, the PA voice, goes starting on left wing for your Edmonton Oilers. Number 21, Kleem Kostin. The place would go crazy. Play him next to McDavid.
To be fair, you can start and not be on the first line.
Start him next to McDavid on the first line. He would get a louder cheer than McDavid.
Dan, where's Kleem Kostin play tomorrow against the Habs?
He's playing right where he's been at for a while. It's fine. Tyler is, what, 1 week removed from consistency, begging for some consistency in this lineup. Now wants everything changed tomorrow.
I'm telling you.
I think you just stick with it for now.
I can't take 10 steps in downtown Edmonton without someone coming out to me being like, Kleem's got to be on the first line.
I will say, to the point that Tyler made earlier, I like the Janmark, Nuge, and Jesse combination that we saw with Chicago, and I'd like to see that continue.
Leave it. Draisaitl can be on the third line.
Chris, where are you putting Kleem Kostin?
He's nowhere ready for the top six. Sorry, Tyler. I think he's good where he is.
Yeah. Well, that's why you're a linesman.
That's why I'm not on this podcast, I guess.
Wow. Ice cold to the guest.
I'm sorry.
I think I keep him on the third line for now, but you need a little boost.
Smokes.
Pop him up there. What do you got, Liam?
Okay, no, don't do it. No.
It's fake. It's fake.
Oh, it's fake.
It's fake.
Damn it.
Yeah. Drew Brees did not get struck by lightning.
Oh, I saw that's a whole thing today.
That's not a partner of ours or anything.
That's a whole thing I saw on Twitter today.
Yeah.
How do we know that's not real?
Well, if he just searched his name, he tweeted out, I did not get hit by lightning.
Still, can you rumor it'll make up?
Nation Dan.
There's a video.
For our friends at Soho, Nation Dan, you're up next. We're past the 20-game mark, and our puck management defensive play is still abysmal. Do you have hope that it can improve with this current group?
I still think that there's parts of this group that need to be changed before it does truly improve. I haven't liked what I've seen out of Broberg. I don't necessarily think I've enjoyed what I've seen out of the bottom six when we were all healthy. So I do think that the team probably needs some help still. I don't know if that comes via the farm team or transaction, but I do think that the team needs help.
Rick, we are at the past the 20 game mark. Is there hope for defensive improvement?
Yeah, we did it last year at the drop of a hat when Woodcroft got there. I don't know why we're not doing it right now, but yes, it's very much in the abilities of all these players on the team right now to play a much stronger team game in our own end.
Liam has a head scout in the AJHL for the Sherwood Park Crusaders.
One and only.
Is there hope for this team to be improved defensively?
Yes, there is always hope, Bag Milk.
Thank you. Tyler.
I mean, like, they can improve a little. You know, this is a roster that's fairly similar to the one Jay Woodcroft had when he took over, and that group was one of the better 5-on-5 teams in the league. So they can improve, but I don't know about how much. I think this blue line is missing a piece. They're clearly banged up right now. That's really hurting them. I think they can improve, but not as much as some people would probably like.
Mr. Chris, the former intern, can the Oilers improve defensively with this current group?
Current group tomorrow? No. Bring back Fogle, Yamamoto.
They are still McLeod. Missing four of their top six.
Yes, Kane. Yes, even without Kane, because Kane's long-term.
Four, yeah. Well, that's fair.
Bring him back? Yes, they can.
Kane was skating today. Yeah, with his daughter.
Yeah. You got a fucking arm.
Yeah, with insane. His daughter.
But Cloud's going to be out like a couple weeks too, though. So
yeah.
Fogle, yeah, though, could be back soonish. And Yamamoto's been skating.
Well,
not thing, with his daughter, with the team.
Yeah, the scary thing was that they did not take Fogle on their trip, but they did take Yamo. So I was a little surprised not to see him in the lineup.
Could just be a thing, though, of like Fogle's injury is a little fresher. And they're like, hey, you can chill back here. We want Yamo skating with the team. Continuing to
Yamamoto, also a big fan of Mall of America. We know this.
Yeah, probably.
Love so, Minnesota.
And he had a free trip there.
Flying with a fresh injury isn't always advisable either.
Yeah, unless you get a lay down in the aisle, maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Mm-hmm. Where is Yamamoto from? I know. Is he from
Spokane?
How far away is that from Minnesota?
Very far.
Not very close at all. All right, no man.
Spokane's like that way.
Vancouver, Winnipeg.
So, but he's in the same country. Maybe he wants to see family and friends.
It's Spokane's closer definitely to Edmonton the same country. Than Minnesota.
Definitely the same country. That is true.
Never mind.
Good job, I don't have a mic.
What is it like driving from London to Ireland?
Same probably time. Closer five than minutes, Spokane to Minnesota. All right, I don't even know where I was. Okay, question four. Rick, you're up first.
Yep.
Since it's all doom and gloom around here these days, what is one positive storyline that is completely unexpected?
Ooh, positive, unexpected. Well, I'm going to say I kind of expected what he's doing right now, but I think for the most part, your answer is going to be Stuart Skinner.
I like that answer. I'm going to jump in because I'm selfish. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. He's having a hell of a season. Keep Nuge forever. Love you, buddy. Liam?
Kept Nuge forever.
Isn't Hyman having a career year? Isn't that sounds right? I think I was a little unsurprised. Well, surprising. I just expected him to be good, but not career yet.
9 goals in 24 games. So that would be
27, 36.
Yeah, he's on like a 40-ish goal pace, 35. So that'd be a career.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
That's surprising.
You are not confident in that math whatsoever.
No. Well, okay. So 24 games into the year. That's kind of like the quarter mark, right? So times 9 by 4, 9, 18, 27, 36. Then a little less. He's on pace for like 34 goals.
Nation Dan, an unexpected storyline that is a positive for you.
I mean, Tyler, I know you've been walking around town talking to Oilers fans. When in your time talking to them, has one single person ever complained about number 24 to you?
Who wears 24?
Who do you think wears number 24?
Oh, Brad Malone.
Yes. Not a single complaint. The man comes in, does exactly what is asked of him, is sent down. Nobody complains. Nothing. He's a great player. He's a positive influence on this team. Brad Malone is your best story coming out of 2022 so far.
Chris, you haven't worked in this company in 3 years, and he's still on the Brad Malone thing.
I noticed. Something's never changed.
What's a positive for you this season, Chris?
Well, going fifth sucks because you guys covered most of all, except for Brad Malone. I want to jump on the Hyman train because going, like continuing his momentum from last year, especially with a newish team, is not easy to do. And he's exceeding those expectations. So he's really doing well.
But you really want to say it's Brad Malone.
Yeah, I had that in the back of my mind, but
yeah,
I left that to you though.
Yeah, hey, well, hey, I appreciate it.
It's a layup, you know? Last question for us.
I didn't get to go.
Oh, sorry, Tyler. I thought I was just busy doing the math.
He said Skinner. I actually have a unique one. There's been a lot of talk here that Bouchard has struggled, right? Barry's had some bad games. Kulak's fallen down. Nurse has been below average, but no complaints about Cody Ceci. For the second straight season, Cody Ceci has looked like perhaps the most dependable Oilers defenseman. And I ripped that signing when they did it. And thank God they did it. It's a great deal.
The fact that he's doing it, despite the fact that you've abandoned him as your hunk on the team for Ryan Murray because of a tan, very impressive.
Yeah, I've always been kind of flaky.
Big fan of a tan.
Chris, I will start with you this time. It's our last question for Soho, for Ask the Idiots. Why do you think goalies seem to find their game when they leave?
When they leave?
Edmonton.
Dubnyk.
Well, easy answer is the pressure. Like you've got a fresh life when you're starting a new city after going through what you did in Edmonton.
Yep. I'll buy that. Tyler?
It's just a coincidence.
Oh.
I'm actually not even kidding about that. I think
the defensive structure in front of them.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of it that too.
Like, look at the defenseman. Like, who was Dubnyk's best defenseman? Schultz?
Petrie. Grebushkov, Sebastian Pisalian.
Which time,
3.2, though.
Yeah, which time was he here?
Who was his blue line?
It wasn't great. Cam Barker was here.
Pretty much named them all.
Tom Gilbert.
Yeah, Tommy G.
Nick Schultz.
Old Maltzy.
I will tell you. So the last year that Devan Dubnyk played here was 2013-14. So let me run through a couple.
It's not even just the D-men. Look at the forwards. We are very top-end-ish. And not that mid-90s guys that we had.
How dare you disrespect Roman Horik like that? So the defense was, Liam, Brad Hunt, yes. Dennis Grebushkov, yep. Mark Frazier,
hello,
Laddie Schmid,
hey.
Taylor Fadun, sexy Oscar Klefbom, Nick Schultz, Corey Potter, Martin Marinson, Anton Belov, Philip Larson. Man, I forgot some of these names even existed. Jeff Petrie, Andrew Ferentz, and Justin Schultz.
Find me a goaltender in the fucking league that would have looked good behind that.
Well, and there's something to be said for what Rick's saying too, because if you think back to Cam Talbot had Oscar Klefbom and Darnell Nurse in front of him. You got the last goalie before that that was really good in Edmonton would be Dwayne Roloson.
But with Talbot, too, you had better middle six, bottom six forwards.
Yeah,
too.
Well, that's because you had Nurse and Klefbom up top. You had Larson that was slid down.
No, bottom six forwards. Like, you know, you just had
defensive guys.
Yeah, better two-way players than we have right now.
So I think that's not completely wrong, but I also would just say that there's just a certain element of Edmonton is just, we've always been looking for defensive help and we send these guys out and we still are looking for defensive help. So I just think that's the real main issue is that we just don't have top flight defensive help.
I don't remember where we're at. Liam, why did goalies improve when they leave?
I don't know if there's anything else to really cover on it. I guess to Dan's point of we always need defensive help. I said this on Oilers Nation every day today. The last three trade deadlines, Ken Holland has acquired the defenseman for this team. Mm-hmm. So it's literally been a fall of this team for at least 3 years under Holland. So I would fully expect it to be 4 years in a row when trade deadline comes around this year too.
Rick, you buy any of this? That goalie's improving the league?
Yeah, like yes and no. Like they just have better teams in front of them.
Who are the goalies that have improved when they left? Dubnyk?
Some people would say Talbot, even though he had his best season here.
I think he just kind of stayed good.
Yeah, he just had a bad year in Edmonton they traded him.
Yeah.
We've gone through so many goalies.
After that, our goalie talent has been right there with our defensive talent.
Yeah. Scrivens, Fast, like they weren't better. Breezy Galov.
Those names that you're listing are not names that we developed either. Like it's not like we're talking, like Dubnyk is a guy that we brought up through our organization.
Yeah, and a lot of people too love to use this as like, Dustin Schwartz, what a shitty goalie coach. But like Stuart Skinner's drafted and developed by this team and he's looking really good. Like, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes it's goaltending is very hard to get right. Look at the Philadelphia Flyers. Before they got Carter Hart, they spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to solve their goaltending, signing different guys to big deals, and it never worked.
We should have got Carter Hart. Was he a third round pick?
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
So was Skinner, though,
I guess, to be fair.
Kaprizov was a fifth round pick. I heard that like three times.
Where did McDavid go?
I don't know.
First overall, I think.
Sixth or seventh, I think. I don't know. I don't remember.
To Toronto.
I was very drunk that night. He could have gone anywhere.
Because he hates Toronto.
Remember that draft party?
McDavid?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That was a rough one.
Barely remember it.
There you go. For our friends at Soho, check them out on the web at Soho Yeg. Or if you're on Jasperov, go grab some pizza. It's delicious. It's gigantic. Bring an appetite. Right, Tyler?
Yeah. Very large. Very big.
Very delicious. Time to end off the podcast with another round of hot and cold performers for our friends at Canada Snowboard, the FIS Big Air World Cup coming to Commonwealth Stadium on December 10th. That is in a week and change.
Whoa.
Tyler, it's date night almost.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll stop at Soho on our way.
That's me slurping up pizza.
Well, okay. Gotta give a shout out to Toyota and Explore Edmonton for bringing this event to the city. Go get tickets at ticketmaster.ca.
Also, you slivered off that muffin.
I don't know if I've ever seen somebody eat a muffin with a fork before.
It was a spoon, wasn't it?
No, it was a fork.
Weird. That's where we draw the line.
Is it that unusual?
Yep.
Have you ever eaten a muffin with a fork before?
I actually have, so
not
passing any judgment. Sometimes it's a crumbly muffin and you gotta need some help.
Yep. Anyone else?
Were you here for when he was describing his muffin?
What? No.
Were you here for? I feel like you guys
difficult.
Are on the same side all of a sudden.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was crusty. It was kind of hard to like pull the fucking wrapper off.
Crumbly. I get it. I get it.
We always start off with
that. Do you know how hot and cold performers works? No.
We'll give you a first go.
I guess, though.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward.
We're going to start off with Dan, for our friends at Canada Snowboard, your cold performer of the week.
My cold performer of the week is going to go to one Jack Edwards of the Boston Nesson broadcast, who took a full 30 seconds to a minute to just lay into Patrick Maroon and his weight issues, apparently, that he has. Patrick Maroon sits at a nice, clean 234 pounds. George Rock played hockey at 240. I dare Jack Edwards to say anything to George Rock about his playing weight. It's nonsense. Jack, just save it for the back room. Shut up about it on television. You're an idiot.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
I also want to point out the people who are like defending him being like, oh, well, he ended it with a compliment saying he's this cup champion. Can you imagine if he just went up to someone and we're like, just roasted him for a minute? And we're like, good at your job.
And but again, I like your hat. And it's, yeah, like, and it's just, it's what Patrick Maroon said afterwards. It doesn't really matter to Patrick, and he's got thick skin for that stuff.
Yeah.
It's the millions of people that possibly heard Jack saying that stupid shit and have caught that casually, myself included, have heard those things said about you, and it's annoying. You don't need to hear it. Jack, get off television if you want to talk like that.
It's just so like out of place too. Yeah. It's just so random and just weird.
He wasn't on the ice.
It's so weird.
No, really?
He wasn't on the ice at the time.
That makes it even more odd. I know. Because I watched the clip and I'm just sitting there listening to him.
He wasn't on the ice.
I'm just sitting there listening to him like, fucking hell. Pat Maroon taking shrapnel for no reason here.
He's been thinking about that one for a while. Jack
has. It was like in his game notes. He was like, all right.
Has he said anything? Has he commented on it?
No, because he's just an idiot. Jack Edwards thinks he did nothing wrong.
He just fires his shit out there and just leaves it.
And he's got a lot of people around him in the Bruins broadcast, the Bruins fandom that do support him too. Tyler, you know, you mentioned it, that people just defended it because it's like, well, that's just what buddies say to each other.
I don't even like his call. He sounds like he's lifting a house every time he announces
anything. That's another part of the debate for sure.
But, Liam, your Canada snowboard cold performer of the week.
I'm going to give this one to myself.
Ooh.
I've had a tough week with food this week. So I ordered myself, I mentioned this before, I've had this since Tuesday, and this is why. So on Tuesday, I ordered myself a Panago pizza on the way home.
Flavor?
From here. Well, that's the point, Rick.
Oh,
the flavor. Oh,
here we go.
So I went to order myself. Now, this is going to make me sound a little stupid. A pepperoni deluxe. And I thought, oh, that must mean like extra pepperoni.
Oh, that's green peppers.
Little did I know when I got home, I had a little extra crunch on my pizza, covered in peppers, mushrooms. Oh, I think there was a couple of olives on there. And I just sadly ate my way through the pizza. I'm not even done. There's more days to this tale. Go ahead.
Did you try picking the toppings off?
No, there was too much. It's too much.
Well, hang on. This continues?
Well, this goes into yesterday a little bit too. Do you have something
to say? So season opening party 4 years ago at the Pint, my first party at Oilers Nation, I went with my brother-in-law and we're on our way home. It is like 2 a.m. We're like, hey, we're going to order a pizza. So he calls Panago. I would like to order a pepperoni. Do you want the deluxe one? Yep, I do. Get it to the house. We sit down at my brother-in-law's house to eat this pizza 2 a.m. and it's covered in all that shit. Me and him are both like, this sucks. He calls the Panago hotline at like 2 a.m. and complained. And the guy on the other side of the line was like, yeah, man, I agree with you. This is really dumb. Like, we shouldn't label it that way. People get confused.
All the
great
time.
Story.
It's incredible that both you and Tyler are bonding over the addition of veggies being a huge,
get that shit out of here.
Terrible
issue.
Veggies, by the way. Yeah.
It's just not what I wanted. Continue. So yesterday I was on my way home from the rink and so I had Swiss Chalet earlier that day.
Well, that's
I've never
your first
had Swiss
mistake.
Chalet before.
Oh, that's your first
and
mistake.
I went to dip into the gravy.
Oh, this sauce is terrible.
Oh,
horrendous.
Awful.
Absolutely horrendous. So I was like, I'm a little peckish still. So I had to get gas. So I stop at Circle K. I was like, okay, I'll go get some Sour Patch Kids. And while I was in there, I was like, I'll get a hot dog. So I at the gas station, I'm only a couple minutes away from home, but I was hungry. I didn't want to cook. So I get this hot dog. And I put it on the thing and I saw that there was the do you know they have the fake cheese?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I pushed the button and the machine just went. Fucking everywhere. Absolutely everywhere. Entire hot dog on my hand covered in fake cheese. So I had to like clean myself off in the Mac store. It's been a tough week.
That's the whole story.
That was it.
Haven't we all been there though? Like at some point in our lives.
For the record, I think that cheese is pretty good.
I love it. I don't love it that much.
Did you like try and like just like spread it amongst the hot dog too?
Did you lick the hand?
It was too far gone. I just kind of looked at myself.
Why did you add in the part about Swiss Chalet?
Because I was still hungry because the sauce wasn't good.
The sauce is terrible.
It's such a garbage food.
It says some dry chicken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. At my old job, I used to work at like a corporate thing and we used to always have like team lunches and all the time they would order Swiss Chalet and I would just rage because it's such a garbage gravy.
Yeah.
It's just brown water sauce and nobody it's needs terrible. To eat it ever.
I didn't go to Swiss Chalet for years, obviously because I only went yesterday. because of the way the signage was outside. It was off-putting. They used to have this weird mural on the side of the building in Short Park, and it just threw me off forever.
Yeah. We got to keep Kate. I'm sorry. We're at an hour, 10 minutes. Let's roll.
Also, Liam needs a food podcast.
What the hell is going on?
Rick, your Canada Snowboard Cold Form of the Week.
Mine's not as funny, but I'm just going to give it to our damn power or penalty kill.
Yep.
Oh, that's cold.
Tyler.
The Beat Cast.
Ooh.
Tyler's canceling the Beat Cast.
I saw. Wait, I'm sorry.
Are you disappointed as I am?
Keep doing it. Keep doing it then.
I'm disappointed because I know how much it means to you, and I think anyone to
you're
take
full
it away
of
from
shit.
You.
You
hate it, but you know we all know you love it.
Not only does it mean a lot to me, Tyler's my guy. He's the one that's killing it. It just hurts, you know.
Were you there for the one in the hotel room?
Yeah, he was there with the one in the hotel room.
Yeah, I think I was in that one. Yeah,
that was the murder scene with Evan, the former intern.
Poor saw beats. Him the other day.
Chris. Your Canada snowboard cold from the week.
Just so you know, Liam took all of your time, so you have 8 seconds.
I'm gonna be real quick. Just Pooley RV just hasn't been doing it for me this week or the season.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
My cold performer of the week is Kylie for her horrible takes on Arby's.
Pour it on!
Oops, wrong button. All right, let's end off the podcast with some positives. Kylie just heard that she was the cold performer of the week. Chris, your hot performer of the week.
It's going to be to me. I'm going to take this one. I got a $400 red light ticket. Like,
ooh.
Spicy. 3 years ago, pre-pandemic, went to court today because I'm like, got to give it a shot.
Is that why you're here?
Yeah. They threw out the whole thing. So today's a big win for me. Yeah.
A hell of a win.
I waited 3 years for that.
He's a hot guy.
Tyler.
Speaking of hot guys, this guy makes cold nights brighter. He brings up my mood whenever I'm feeling down. My hot performer is Kleem Costin.
Ooh. Feeling hot, hot, hot.
No idea where we were going.
I didn't know where I was going either.
Looking around my room, I thought it was going to be one of us.
You fit that Rick, description too, Liam. Don't worry.
Your Canada snowboard hot performer of the week.
I think it's pretty obvious if we're doing a week. It's Mr. Evan Bouchard who broke through against the Rangers, and the man's on fire now.
It's getting hot in here. So hot.
Liam.
My hot performer of the week goes to
certainly not Mr. Swiss Chalet.
Definitely not Swiss Chalet. I'll just say the Oilers for getting back on track and getting 3 wins in a row.
It's cool when they do it. It's a problem when I do it. Fuck them.
Nation Dan, you're a Canada snowboard hot performer of the week.
Well, you mentioned it, Rick, the comeback against the Rangers. It's been a full week since we were able to do this. And so I just want to say thank you again. It's going to go out to all the people that came out for Brunch for Ben. We were able to raise $3,800 for a foundation of the Stelter's Choice. And we will be doing that soon. And just a wonderful, wonderful time getting together with Oiler fans at a family fun brunch party. Thank you to Soho for everything that they did and all the partners that helped out with the swag and prizing. And again, thank you to Ben for everything he did for this city and everything he's going to continue to do in this city with his legacy.
Put some respect on my name.
Just to wrap it up, my Canada snowboard hot performer of the week is Leon Draisaitl. The guy's on a heater right now. He's got goals in 4 straight games and just makes me happy. Big hair, don't care. Leon Draisaitl, you look great, buddy.
This is why I'm hot. I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
Also, a secondary hot performer of the week to James Hamblin, NHL debut.
When do we start calling him Jimmy Hamblin?
Jimmy Hams.
Jimmy Hams.
After at least a goal.
Okay.
I say he's got to earn tomorrow.
It. Once he scores, it's officially the Jimmy Hams era. I like that.
I like that. There you go. For our friends at DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Tourism Jasper, Soho, and Canada Snowboard, this is episode 965,000 of Oilers Nation Radio. Thank you for being here. Have a great weekend, everybody.
245.
Shout out Evan Hukawanik.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.